DiscerningHearts.com, in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, presents Begin Again, the Spiritual Legacy of Venerable Bruno Lanteri with Father Timothy Gallagher. Father Gallagher was ordained in 1979 as a member of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. He obtained his doctorate from the Gregorian University, and he has dedicated many years to an extensive ministry of retreats, spiritual direction, and teachings about the spiritual life. Father Gallagher is the author of several books published by the Crossroads Publishing Company on the spiritual teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola and the life of Venerable Bruno Lanteri. Father Gallagher is featured on the EWTN series Living the Discerning Life, the Spiritual Teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola. Begin Again, the Spiritual Legacy of Venerable Bruno Lanteri with Father Timothy Gallagher. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We continue our conversation on the teachings of Venerable Lanteri concerning our interior dispositions as we enter into the celebration of the Mass. At this point, Father Gallagher begins our discussion on the liturgy of the Eucharist.
From the offering, we move then to the preface, which begins the great Eucharistic prayer, at the heart of which will be the consecration of the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. And so this is the prayer that the priest prays and we listen to leading up to the Holy, 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 the Sanctus. Now, as we are following with the priest, as the priest prays this prayer, Venerable Lanteri invites us to have the disposition of heart that the blessed have in heaven. And here too, this is a simple spiritual practice which is rooted in a profound spiritual truth. Let me read just the last lines of, I'm choosing one of the Sunday prefaces here, and we'll recognize these words as I say them, because we hear them so often at every Mass. And so as the priest comes to the conclusion of this particular preface, he says, and so with angels and archangels, with thrones and dominions, and with all the hosts and powers of heaven, so that the perspective becomes very, very large. This particular prayer that the 200 or 300 people at this Mass this Sunday, or the 50 people at this daily Mass are offering up as they are moving into the Eucharistic prayer, is not simply a prayer of those who are visibly present, but in communion with the heavenly church, in the communion of the saints, we are actually joining in a prayer that is constantly rising up from the heart of the blessed, the angels and archangels, all the hosts and powers of heaven, a prayer of joyful praise and worship in glad gratitude to God. And so with angels and archangels and all the hosts of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory as without end we proclaim. And then we move into the Holy, Holy, Holy. Now let me read from the book of Revelation at the end of Scripture. This is chapter 7, verse 9, and the following. An image, a heavenly vision given to John, which can give us just a glimpse. It's like the shutter of a camera that opens for a second and allows in an image of the hymn of praise that arises with such joy from all the blessed in heaven. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no man could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, that's the heavenly church, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands. The trials of this earth are over, and they are forever blessed with God. And crying out with a loud voice, this is what we actually join. It's this prayer that we join when we are, as we say the preface, we move into the Holy, Holy, Holy. Crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb. And as this multitude makes that prayer, the angels, the elders, the living creatures, fall on their faces before the throne and worship God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Now that hymn of praise is rising up continually before the throne of God. the blessed, now every tear has been wiped away, suffering is no more, and their hearts simply rejoice with infinite gratitude, blessing, praise, and thanksgiving before God, expressed in the hymn of joy that wells up from their hearts. Now that, Venerable Lantieri says, is the disposition of heart that we're invited to have at this particular point in the Mass, as we hear the preface inviting us to join that joyful hymn of praise in the heavenly places. What would be in the heart of one whose robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, has come through the tribulations of life, from whom now every tear has been wiped away, every longing of the heart is fulfilled and more than one could have ever dreamt or hoped for, and this is given for eternity? What kind of gratitude, what kind of love, what kind of joyful praise and thanksgiving would well up from the heart of one of the blessed in heaven? Well, that, our Venerable Lantieri says, is what we are to try to have in our own hearts as we pray this part of the Mass. And then the elevation, the central point of the Eucharistic prayer. This is my body, this is my blood. And the priest, having said those words of consecration, lifts up the now transubstantiated bread and wine before the people. And at this point, Venerable Lantieri invites the priest and invites those of us with the priest at the Mass to share the dispositions of heart that were in Jesus himself. We've reached the deep point, really, now in the Mass. What was in the heart of Jesus on Calvary? What was in the heart of Jesus when he offered himself up to his heavenly Father for the salvation and redemption of the world? We catch glimpses here and there in Scripture. In John 10, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. It's a very freely chosen yes to the offering of himself to his Father. John 13, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end, both to the end of what is possible to love and to the very end of his life. It's a complete giving, and a complete giving out of a deep love. Philippians 2, though he was in the form of God, he didn't cling to that. He emptied himself, took the form of a slave, and being obedient, suffered death, even death on the cross. There's a self-emptying, a willingness to give of himself for others completely. And then that prayer in anguish in the garden, if it be possible, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Complete obedience to what his Father is asking of him. These are just little windows into the richness beyond imagining of what stirs in the heart of Jesus as he offers himself to the Father. And that, Venerable Lantieri says, is a window into the space of heart to which we're called as we see the very offering of Jesus take place before us in the consecration and symbolized in the elevation when the consecrated bread and wine is raised for the viewing of all.
Father, that imagery you just offered to us, it almost, for a moment, I would imagine if we could have the same type of disposition, maybe as St. Margaret Mary, when our Lord came from the tabernacle and revealed his heart to her, and that look at the heart that has loved so much. I mean, it's almost as though at that elevation, what you're asking us to see is the very essence of who he is, that heart that has loved so much.
That's a very beautiful linkage, because that is what it is. It's the heart of Jesus, which is what St. Margaret Mary experiences. It's a mystery. There are, in any human heart, there are depths of self-giving in people's generosity that it's hard for us to fathom. How much more when this is the person who is God himself? Oftentimes, flames are associated with the Sacred Heart, and you can see why. What other image can express the depth of what's taking place, the richness of self-giving and offering that is taking place at this moment in the Mass, which makes present for us Calvary, which makes present for us all that Jesus did for us on Calvary. I almost feel like we just need to stop here for a moment and be reverent, because we touch such a deep place in the Mass. I'm thinking as I'm saying this of that often quoted line of the peasant who would stop each day in the church of the Curia of Ars and spend long hours just gazing toward the tabernacle, and responded when the Curia of Ars asked him what he did during that time. What did he say to the Lord? He said, I don't say anything. I just look at him and he looks at me. It's that kind of mystery into which we're invited at this point in the Mass. There's something that escapes words in it. I'm just find myself wondering what it would mean to live Mass this way. If we really lived Mass on this level of faith, if we knew what the Mass means in each of its parts, and then had something like what Venerable Lanteri is supplying here, a spiritual way of touching that mystery of the Mass in its various parts as it unfolds, we would come away from that Mass changed. It would make the difference in our life, really. It would be, as you've said, quoting the Church, the source and the summit of the entirety of our spiritual life. Well, the Eucharistic prayer comes to its conclusion. Along the way toward communion, we pray the prayer of the Our Father, which obviously is special amongst all prayers as the prayer that Jesus himself gave us. As we are praying this prayer, Venerable Lanteri invites us to have the disposition of heart of one who is in supplication, a supplicant, one who begs, one who knows that he or she is deeply needy and turns toward the goodness of one who is rich beyond compare and begs, supplicates for the needs that are ours. And you can see why he would choose this particular disposition of heart, because so much of the prayer is precisely that. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. So that as we are praying the Our Father, we see ourselves in the position of one who stands before a God who is infinitely loving, who promises, ask and you'll receive. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do, Jesus tells us. And brings our human neediness for our daily bread. Maybe there are financial needs and struggles in the family or in family members. Physical needs, situations of health, struggles with sinfulness and evil, and what could pull us away from God in the world. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Free us from all that would pull us away from you or weaken our spiritual energy. We have so many needs. I suspect that if there's anything that is clear to us in life, it is that we have many needs. There is so much that we need in our own life and in the lives of those we love. And as we're praying the Our Father, Venerable Lanteri invites us to stand before God with all of those needs and with great confidence turn to the one who asked us to call him Father. Abba, as we read in the letter to the Galatians. And to bring those needs before him with great confidence that our prayer will reach his heart, especially in this case now when the prayer is expressed in the words that Jesus himself gave us and is prayed in the context of the Mass, of the Eucharistic assembly, and just moments away from receiving the Lord Jesus in communion itself.
We'll return to Begin Again with Father Timothy Gallagher in just a moment.
Hello, my name is Deacon Omar Gutierrez, and I want to ask you to support Discerning Hearts in a special way. We, Chris McGregor, the board, and I all know that not everyone listening can help financially. We know we have listeners from all parts of the world, and we have made a commitment since the beginning to make the truths shared through Discerning Hearts totally free. So while you may not be able to contribute financially, what you can do is certainly pray, but also give us positive reviews on whatever platform you use to listen to us. If it's iTunes, Android, Stitcher, or Spotify, however it is that you get these podcasts, or if you're on YouTube and you like our videos, please give us a good rating and write a review. The more good ratings and reviews we get, the higher our profile, and the more listeners will discover us, listeners who may have the means to contribute in the future. Please consider rating us and writing a positive review today.
A prayer for the intercession of Venerable Bruno Lanteri. O Father, fountain of all life and holiness, you gave Father Bruno Lanteri great faith in Christ your Son, a lively hope, and an act of love for the salvation of his brethren. You made him a prophet of your word and a witness to your mercy. He had a tender love for Mary, and by his very life he taught fidelity to the Church. Father, hear the prayer of your family, and through the intercession of Father Lanteri, grant us the grace for which we now ask. May he be glorified on earth, that we may give you greater praise. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Did you know that you can obtain a free app which contains all your favorite Discerning Hearts programs? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Archbishop George Lucas, Father Mauritius Fildi, and so many more, including episodes from Inside the Pages, can be obtained on the Discerning Hearts free app. This also includes all the novenas and devotionals and prayers, including the Holy Rosary and Stations of the Cross, the Chaplet of St. Michael, and the Seven Sorrows of Our Lady, all available on the Discerning Hearts free app. Visit the iTunes and Google Play app stores to obtain your free Discerning Hearts app today. We now return to Begin Again with Father Timothy Gallagher.
Shortly after the Our Father is the Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us, repeated three times. Grant us peace at the end of the third time. And here, Venerable Lanteri invites us to have the disposition of heart. The word that he uses in Italian can't be translated into one single word in English, so I'm going to describe what he means. It's the situation of a person who is guilty of wrongdoing, and the wrongdoing has been found. It's been discovered. The person is accused of it and is brought to judgment for this. That's the word that Venerable Lanteri uses in Italian. It's that situation of the person who now stands before judgment and who is guilty of the wrongdoing for which he's been brought to judgment. And out of that space of heart, this person lifts his or her heart to God, to the Lamb of God, who shed his blood to take away sins, by whose stripes we were healed, turns to the Lamb of God, confesses that he can take away sins, he does take away sins, and then from our hearts we ask for mercy. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. And the repetition indicates the depth of the desire. So that as we pray this prayer, we pray it with a deep sense of our need for it. The just man falls seven times a day. We began this Mass with a penitential rite in which we confessed that we had sinned. And with that awareness in our hearts and awareness of the love of the Lamb of God to whom we turn, we beg for his mercy. We beg for peace. And then communion itself. And here, Venerable Lanteri simply invites us to have the disposition of heart of one who loves. And I'm not sure that I can say any more about this one. What does it mean for two people who love each other simply to be with each other? What does it mean to long for the presence of one we love, a family member, a spouse, a friend? What does it mean when finally the obstacles are removed? Maybe the person has been at some geographical distance and we're together again. What one person who loves feels in the presence of the beloved, that's what we're invited to have in our hearts when we receive communion. There may be many words that we want to say to the one who loves us and is now in our hearts. Maybe enough just to be quiet and simply be together. But this is the disposition of heart we're invited to have at communion. And finally, at the conclusion of the Mass, as we said just a little bit earlier, go forth, the Mass is ended. Venerable Antary invites us to have the disposition of heart of an apostle. Now, the word apostle in the original Greek means one who is sent. That's what the apostles are. They are those whom Jesus has sent out into the world. So that what Venerable Antary is inviting us to do as the Mass is concluded and we are about to return to our places of life, as I said before, is to see in some sense that the Mass never really ends, that what we have received now, we are sent by the Lord to take out into the world. Above all, with our lives, by the way we live, by the way we interact with people, by what people see of us at home or in our marriage, or as we relate to our children, or in the workplace, or in the parish. Above all, by the way we lived, to live as apostles, as people who have participated in the mystery of Christ profoundly in the Mass that has just concluded, and are now going out with something of the fire of the Mass, something of the teaching that we heard in the Liturgy of the Word in the readings, and something of the warmth received in the Liturgy of the Eucharist, taking that out into the world and in contact with other peoples, sharing that with others by the way we live above all. Now, these are the different attitudes or dispositions of heart to which Venerable Antary invites us as we go through the Mass. Having reviewed these different dispositions of heart, there's just a few things that we can say now as we look back over all that Venerable Antary has invited us to in the Mass. Firstly, that if we are to have these dispositions of heart at the various parts of the Mass, we need to know the teaching of the Church about the Mass. Because what these dispositions of heart do is they look at the meaning of that part of the Mass and provide, as I've said, a way to live it in practice. But the deeper we can enter into the specific meaning of the various parts of the Mass, the more easily we will find ourselves able to live these spiritual dispositions, because we'll know what's taking place at that particular moment in the reading, in the Mass. So, for example, in the readings, as the lector or the priest or the deacon is proclaiming the reading, I know that what's happening is that God is in the midst of his people, speaking his word to them, that or Jesus is again on the mountainside or by the lakeshore proclaiming his word in the midst of his people. Then it becomes so much easier for me to live this with the disposition of a disciple, as Venerable Antary invited us to at that part of the Mass. So that if we want to live this Mass this way, then we can hardly do anything better than, for example, to take the Catechism of the Catholic Church and read the several pages on the Mass slowly, or join a group that is exploring the teaching of the Mass, or in various ways listen to podcasts on the Eucharist. Do what we can to enter more deeply into the meaning of the Mass, because as the doctrine unfolds for us, the spiritual disposition will also come alive. The second thing that I would say, this builds on something you said, Chris, in our earlier conversation on this, living the Mass in this way is not something that's going to happen overnight. This is a gradual growth. As it obviously was for Venerable Lanteri, as I mentioned earlier, he wrote up for himself this approach to praying the Mass, living the Mass, still as a seminarian. And decades later in his life, took the same approach, which he obviously found fruitful in his own life, and shared it with the members of his religious community, the community he founded, the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. And it's through that page that now it's shared with all of us. So that obviously this was something that he tried to do over the many years, the 71 years of his life. As I'm thinking of this, I'm recalling Brother Lawrence of the Resurrection, his practice of the presence of God, how some 40 years after he began trying to live constantly in God's presence, he told the priest with whom he had the conversations that are part of that book, that it took about 10 years of effort before this began to open up for him, and then began to envelop and transform him and shape his relationship with God. So that if this seems somewhat daunting as we describe these various dispositions of heart, how could I ever get from where I see myself now in living the Mass to living the Mass this way? It's important for us to keep in mind that this is a gradual process. Like prayer itself, we don't become masters of prayer overnight or even in a year, probably 10 or many more years in our lives. But if we're faithful to prayer, there's a gradual growth, which eventually deepens and changes and transforms the prayer. Thirdly, I would say that we need to keep in mind that living the Mass, praying the Mass in this way, as is true of all prayer, is a gift. It's a grace. It's not a human accomplishment. So much effort, so much result. But it is a grace to be humbly and confidently asked of God in prayer. All prayer and living the Mass in this way is God's work more than ours. And so our part is to ask for the gift and to dispose our hearts, our lives, by the way we live, to receive the gift or the grace of living Mass in some measure in this way, with all the power that's there. Then finally, having asked for that grace, let's do it. The next time we're at Mass. Maybe I just remember as we get to the readings what's really taking place, and so I try to see myself as the disciple seated on the mountainside as Jesus speaks his Sermon on the Mount, or with the crowds pressing to hear his word in the temple or by the lakeshore. And I have that image in my heart as I'm listening to the readings. And let me listen to the readings that way. And maybe another day I'll be aware of the attitude of one of a suppliant as we're praying the Our Father and so on, or as we pray the glory of the angels in heaven with the joy in their hearts. And as we persevere in this, asking of God the grace, and humbly, imperfectly, but sincerely, trying to make the effort each time we go to Mass, something will change. The Mass will come to be, again, as you quoted so well as we began, the summit. It will be the heart. It will be the center. And it will be all that it really is intended to be in our lives as Christians and Catholics.
That encouragement not to be discouraged if we, through our celebration of the Mass, are not always able to engage at each of those points with that particular disposition, but we should always endeavor to at least begin again if we have the opportunity, as we are so blessed to be able to enter into that relationship with the Lord at the celebration of the Mass.
Yes, I think it's very much, as I said, like all prayer, that John Henry Newman said in one of his lovely sermons on prayer, that the only way we can begin to pray is by praying poorly. We don't begin in the life of prayer as masters of prayer, just as a person who's learning the piano or taking up golf or tennis or whatever. We don't begin anything, any human activity, as a master. And there's no shame in that, and there's nothing wrong with that. What matters is to persevere. What matters is to stay the course. And that's how gradually the habit of prayer develops in us. And the same thing will be true of the Mass. And this is there are ups and downs. You know, there'll be a day when the Mass is very alive for me on this level, perhaps, and I'm so grateful to the Lord. And then another day, maybe I'm a bit tired. Maybe I'm anxious about something that is happening or a doctor's appointment later in the day. And I find it harder to be attentive in the same way. There's no shame in that. There's no need to be discouraged in that. We simply do our best.
Well, bringing this then to the conclusion, or shall we say the beginning, any final thoughts?
I'll say that years ago when I entered the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, that's 40 years ago now, this passage caught my attention. And I suppose that's why I'm speaking about it in these conversations now, because I never forgot it. There was something different from anything I'd ever seen in this passage, with the indication of spaces of the heart for each part of the Mass. So it's always meant something special to me. It's such a blessing to once again approach something that really is such a treasure in the spiritual life.
Thank you so much, Father Gallagher.
Thank you, Chris.
You've been listening to Begin Again, the spiritual legacy of Venerable Bruno Lanteri with Father Timothy Gallagher. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We pray that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, and if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we ask that you tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Begin Again, the spiritual legacy of Venerable Bruno Lanteri with Father Timothy Gallagher.